That would be great.
Okay. That deals with contemporary politics. Let's look at Pasha Mikheyev's.
Okay.
About going down into slavery. And looking at the parsha, there's an interesting pattern that is kind of looking through it, looking at Rashi specifically. As the text tells Yaakov is sending his sons to Egypt. Right? There's a famine in Eretz Israel. Tells his sons, okay, go down to Egypt, go buy some food. And Rashi sees a pun there. Pasuk says, but Yaakov Kiyesh Shever Mitzrayim. Yaakov saw that there was Shever merchandise, like Mashbir, down in Egypt. Yom Yaakov Anav Lama Titro, he tells his sons, why are you standing here looking at each other? Yom Hinei Shamati Kiyesh Shever Mitzrayim. I heard that there is produce, there is merchandise to be bought in Egypt. But do Shema go down there, Vishibru Lano Misham, and buy stuff for there, Nechia Blonamut, and we will live and not die. So Rashi says, "Vayayakov kiyesh shever b'Mitzrayim." Yaakov sees that there is shever in Egypt. Mehechan ra'ah. What do you mean? He saw. Hello, lo ra'ah la shama. That wasn't seeing; it was hearing, which is okay. Both of those are metaphoric. He didn't, he heard the news. He didn't actually see it. So ne'amar hinei shamati. He says shamati ma'u b'yira. So what does he mean by b'yar that he saw? Ra'ah b'asbaklaria shel kodesh. He saw with a holy lens. Hey, I'm gonna translate asbaklaria. Like
That's good lens. I like that.
the Navi usually translates it as a basaklaria shemi'ira, as Moshe saw with a clear lens, then other Nevi'im saw with an unclear lens, but he saw through the asbaklaria of Kedusha, a little bit of Nevuah, Shadaye lo yesh lo sever b'Mitzrayim. Okay. Not shever meaning merchandise, but sever meaning hope.
Sever means hope.
Sever. Yes, as we say in Ashrei, Enei kol elecha yisaberu. All eyes look hopefully unto thee, as my rabbi growing up would translate it. I could say he. I'm one of those rabbis growing up who liked to compete with the cantor. So the more the cantor would sing, the more the rabbi would say in English. We always would say Ashrei, right? All eyes look hopefully unto thee, v'atano, and you give them their food in good time. So it wasn't so much that he saw that there was Shever, but he saw that's like Plaria Shel Kodesh, that there was Sever Mitzrayim. Hi, Davida.
Hi, Davida.
You have a menorah picture in the background.
Yes, I have a few.
Okay. Okay, below Haita Nevuah Mamat, but this Sever, this hope was not a real Nevuah. Right, Lodia beperish is a Yosef. He didn't know Yosef was still alive. He says he had a sense, a kedusha of hope. There was hope for him in down in Egypt, but it wasn't a nevuah in the sense he saw. Okay, that Yosef is still alive. That wasn't what this was. But yeah, he had that asplaklaria shel kodesh, this little slight little vision that there was something going on there. That's why Rashi.
When you read Rashi, how do you know to read it as sever and not shiver?
Mostly quite add from context. To say that Shever meaning merchandise, things to buy, doesn't have anything to do with Yosef. That's the way everyone understands that.
Yeah.
And the commentators on Rashi all read it that way, and all the Nekudot in Rashi too.
I'm not questioning
Well,
it, but like,
yeah.
yeah. In the
I
first reading.
agree, but that is, we go into, I mean, I look at it online and on Safari, and they put the dots there as well. But that's helpful. Right. And what's striking about that clearly that is that reading is addressed to us, the readers. Rashi is not saying that Yaakov doesn't use the word, but Yaakov ki is Shever Mitzrayim is talking, is the text. It's not Yaakov's words. It's addressed to us. The text is telling us that Yaakov has this idea, this Sever, and as the Art Scroll puts it, that this is an incident of the prophet not comprehending the clear meaning of his revelation. It was played for the narrative. Yaakov did not know the consequences of his initiative in sending his sons to Egypt. Doesn't say, okay, Yosef's there. I have a vision that you should all go down there. Another example of his unconscious prophecy. Another example is the unconscious prophecy. His family would ultimately spend 210 years in Egypt. And the idea that Rashi similarly says when it says Redu Shama, go down there. The Shuvah Rishonim go down. And Rashi says that Redu is Remez Lamatayim Besar Shanim, 120.
Wait, what is Sever?
Sever means hope.
How do we know? What is?
And I just quoted, sorry, you missed that part. It's Enei Kol Yisna Be'er is an example of that.
Saying that okay, Rashi, wait, is that the only tense that it's used? Like, I feel like I've never heard that word.
I never heard it either.
No.
Well, we did in Ashri.
Yeah, I mean, but that's the one that comes to mind immediately because we say it all the time. We never think about what it means.
Mm-hmm.
Right? As well, are hopeful, right? Sever means hope. Okay, and the same thing that this idea of he uses the word redu, resh dalet vav, which is the gematria, right? Shinitabu, the Mitzrayim Kaminyan redu is 210.
Where's Rashi the 10?
Resh dalet vav, 204 and 6.
Oh.
Okay, right. And that's a commonly quoted as gematria. Rashi says that's kind of hinted. Arsko says that was a hint that he uses the word redu, not knowing what his that he basically was saying. Okay, you're going to be down there for 210 years, but Yaakov doesn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
We know that. Similarly, I mean, this keeps coming up in the parsha when the brothers confront who they think is the viceroy of Egypt. He's Yosef, but they don't know that at the point they confront them. And the way it puts it there, Yosef remembered all the dreams he had dreamt about them. So he tells them, he accused them of being spies. You've come to look for the weakness of the land. And they said, no, we came to buy food. We are all the sons of one man. We're honest, we're not spies. As Rashi says, this is the brothers talking to Yosef, saying, we're all the sons of one man. And Rashi puts it, they had a spark of Ruach HaKodesh, a Nebuah there, the Kalaluha Imam, and included him, Yosef, among them. Right? And again, this is not right. They don't know they're saying that. We read that and we immediately say, you know, that's pretty funny because they really are all the sons of one man, every single one of them. They don't know that, right? As Rashi says, it's not, they had the nitzutz, they had a spark of Ruach HaKodesh at that point. And similarly, Yaakov, when they come back and they say, okay, the viceroy wants us to bring our younger brothers, Binyamin has to come down, and Yaakov finally lets Binyamin go down, and he tells him, Achichem kachu, v'kumu shuveli. So take your brother and go back to the man, back to Yosef. V'kel shakai ten lachem rachamim lefnei ha'ish, and may God give you mercy before that man, v'shilach lachem et achichem acher v'binyamin. And he'll give you, and he'll return to you your other brother and Binyamin. And for me, if I am bereft, I lose my children, I lose. I have nothing else. I can't do anything else. And in a pshat, he says, Achichem Acher, your other brother, he's talking about Shimon, who's been kept hostage back in Egypt. And why does he want to say his name? Because he's still mad at Shimon, because the whole Dina episode, possibly. But Rashi says, Acher, right, he specifically says, your other brother, Ruach HaKodesh Nizrakabo. Right? A little bit of Nevuah, Ruach HaKodesh was injected into him. Rabo Yosef.
That's interesting language, because it's not like a Nevuah, like, Kol Mar Hashem, but it's...
Right. All of these things are all very similar ideas that they're having a nevuah that they don't know about. They're saying, right, they're all portrayed as saying things that have significance. We know what it means. Here it's, he's saying that, okay, your other brother will come back with you.
Oh, and Noah.
And the other brother here is that, the Ruach HaKodesh is that Yosef. Yosef is going to come back. But he doesn't know that. And here we have the official elephant.
Hello, Noah. Hello.
But yeah, you try to figure that out. Like, what is that on the screen? It's an elephant. How's she feeling, by the way, Vita?
Yesterday was good. She slept through the night last night for the first time.
Oh,
Yay.
I'll just cough forever. Okay, so
Yeah.
I'm not gonna know. Rashi's making these. He has these different terms in all these cases. One's the Asbak Lariyos HaKodesh, one's the Nitznatza Ruach HaKodesh, the other is Rakosh Nizrakabo. I'm not sure. I'm sure somebody talks about what the distinction is, but this. I mean, it's all the same idea as you just pointed out. It's not a nevuah. They don't know, and I know none of these characters are portrayed as knowing what God wants, but there are hints there that Hashem's giving them a message through their words. And if we're reading the Torah purely as literary text, we call it dramatic irony. What dramatic irony means? Here I can define it here. Irony that is inherent in the speech or situation of a drama is understood by the audience, but not grasped by the characters in the play. Okay? So I say it's the author's way of winking at us, saying, telling the reader, okay, that this is part of a plot, that you're going to appreciate that. You know, and the most obvious one is that Kulanu b'nei hashechad nachnu, where we smile when we read it. You know, forget, and even what, you know, you're not reading it as Torah. Just if you're reading it as a novel, you would immediately see, oh yeah, that's they really are all the sons of one man. They really are all brothers, but the characters in the story have no idea what it is. Okay, but yeah, the dramatic irony is kind of pulling the audience in, making the author and the audience conspiring together to watch this, like, you know, that the author's saying there's someone behind the scenes making the plot flow. It's a way of breaking the fourth wall, as they say. But that's an and now, but the Torah is a religious text, okay? But the Torah is, I think, telling us something similar, saying that okay, Hashem's there, writing the story, as it were, through all of this. But there's another. One more episode of dramatic irony in the Parsha, the same idea with the characters don't know what they're saying. We know what they're saying because we know how what's happening. And that's when Yehuda tells his father, Yomer Yudal Yisrael, Aviv, Shilcha Nar. Yehuda's trying to convince his father, okay, we have to take Binyamin down to Egypt. We don't have a choice. Shilcha Nar iti b'nekum v'nalecha. Send the child, the lad with me. And we will go. We'll get up, and we will go. And then we will live, and we will not die. Gam anachnu, gam ata, gam tzipenu, us, you, our children. And Rashi says the same day. When he says nichia, nitznatze bo ruach hakodesh. Same expression. He gets an injection of a spark of ruach hakodesh. That ayde alicha zu tichi ruachacha. That if you go, then you are nichia, your spirit will live. As it says, Vatechi Ruach Yaakov Avihem. That's a specific, that's different from Lo Namut Bara'av. We're not going to starve, but nichia, we'll see what that means, that your spirit will live, because your spirit has been dead all this time since you've lost Yosef.
Where is that pasuk? What's the context?
The one that I just quoted
Vatehi,
from Yehuda.
no, Vatehi ruach Yaakov
I'm
avihem.
going to quote it in a second.
Oh.
Because it's not, I'm going to say that it's not noticeable until you think about it. But the fact is that Hashem's been absent for two parashiyot. Hashem hasn't talked to anybody, right? We've spent all of Sefer Bereishit with Hashem talking to everybody. Adam, Noah, Abraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov. And the last time that's happened was back in Parashat Bshalach, like almost eight prakim ago. It says, "Vayarel kimen Yaakov, o bevo padat Aram." Right when he comes back from Aram, Hashem appears to Yaakov, blesses him, "Vayomer lo lakim." God says to him, "Shem ka Yaakov, lekarashim ka'od Yaakov ki Yisrael. Your name is now Yisrael. Yeshmecha, that's your name." Vayikarashim Yisrael. God calls him Yisrael. And after that, nothing. And they don't. We don't. And we don't. Hashem doesn't talk to anybody until next week's parsha, and that's the quote here about Nech, Ruach Yaakov, and that's when they come back after they've reunited with Yosef. Yosef is the king, is the viceroy in Egypt. Everything's wonderful. We shall go down there. And the brothers come back by Uim Mitzrayim, by Avoel Eretz Canaan, El Yaakov Abihem. They come back to Canaan to their father Yaakov. Vagidu lo lemar, od Yosef chai. And they tell him Yosef is still alive. And he is ruling all over Egypt. And his heart skips a beat. Believe them. And they tell him everything Yaakov said. And he looks at the wagons to bring him back. And at that moment, Yaakov's spirit comes back. That's Vatechi, right? He becomes alive again because he hadn't been. Right? He said that he ruach Yaakov shatol lav shchina. The parsha mimena. The shchina came back to Yaakov. Yes. That the he gets that ruach hakodesh back that he had lost, and so when he's going back, we now get a nevuah. So Yaakov goes down to Be'er Sheva, and he offers sacrifices. Okay, that's the point I made before about the change from Yaakov to Yisrael. Right? When he goes down, he's Yisrael. He goes from Yaakov, but he's revived. Now he's Yisrael. And then Hashem tells Yisrael, in a vision, Yaakov, and there he calls him Yaakov, and that's the next time Hashem talks to Yaakov again. That's Vatechi Ruach Yaakov. So that again, when Yehuda says that Nichyev no lo namud kamanachu gamata, he's not necessarily thinking about the spiritual side, the Ruach Kodesh, the Nebuah side of it. But we know that. That's the Nisnaseva Ruach Kodesh. There's a little hint there that he's giving a little bit of a prophecy. The dramatic irony is that he's talking about that the Nebuah, that your Ruach Kodesh is going to come back explicitly. And what happened, the reason why for 22 years he does not have the Nebuah, and we've been missing it all this time, is because Yosef was sold into slavery and Yaakov been mourning for his son. And while he's in mourning, he can't be a Navi. General principle is Gemara and Shabbos, famously. When first it starts by quoting Kohelet, Shibachti Aneta Simcha, right? I praise Simcha. Why is Simcha so good? Because it's talking about Simcha Shel Mitzvah, not just partying. That the Shekhinah doesn't dwell in a condition of sadness. About tzfut. Let me tell you, Shtivar Simcha Shal Mitzvah, but from joy. Shemar, and this is the case where Elisha is asked to give a nevuah to, he's Yehoshaphat and Yehoram, I think, with the kings. And he says, I can't deal with these kings of Yisrael. They just make me so mad. So he says, Vataka Huli Min again. Go get me a musician. And when the musician's playing, that he love Yad Hashem. And then I can get over my anger at you people because you're so doing such a wrong. And then Hashem will dwell upon me. I'll be able to give a nevuah. So you can't be depressed and get a nevuah. And Amar Rav Yehuda. And he adds that you can't pass an halacha when in a state of sadness either. We need to get to the state of simcha as well.
Oh.
Okay, that we need to release the state of equanimity. If you have your mind around you there. So for 22 years, he's been in a state of atzvut. There's been no connection with God here. And that's when Vatechi Ruach Yaakov Avihem, that's when his spirit comes back. And we can always sing about the depression of this time. We know the song from the documentary from Joseph. You've seen Joseph, Phyllis?
No, I never did.
You know, he still sees it. See it there. Have you seen it? Or her?
If I haven't seen it, I've at least like heard all the song. I don't know.
Right, okay, this is the French one, right? Nos jours furent anywhere, et maintenant,
Yeah.
we drink a bitter wine. Those Canaan days we used to know. Where
Where
have
have they
they
gone?
gone? Where
Where
did they go?
do
Eh bien, raise
they
your
go?
voice to those Canaan days. Okay, the brothers are all talking about how terrible it is without Yosef there. Without George. That's kind of in that state, there's no Nebuchadnezzar. Okay? But we don't notice the absence of Hashem's voice because his name's mentioned all the time. Right? It's not obvious that Hashem's not talking to anybody because people still talk about God. Right? Yosef is always he Hashem imo, or he says this with Parsha, Elokim yaneh shlom paro, God will answer Paro when he's interpreting the dreams. And Yaakov speaks to God, right? He's praying. Kel Shakai Yitein Lecha Rachamim. But God doesn't talk to Yaakov. But here, with all these little hints, right, throughout the parsha, one after the other, we're told that even though God doesn't speak to Yaakov, he's still talking to Yaakov. Just Yaakov can't hear him
Oh.
in the face of this atzmut. But there's still, every time they speak, there's a little nitzotzot of nevuah there, reassuring us. Right? God's still there. He's still behind the scenes, right? That's what dramatic irony tells us. The author's still there.
Does Yaakov hear all those statements that we went over? No.
That's the point, is that we're not. He doesn't hear them. It's
No,
merely
not that he doesn't understand them. He doesn't hear them. They're not made in
that.
his presence.
Right. I don't think he is here. We're not saying that he hears it. He hears himself saying, Shever, sever, or he doesn't
Yeah.
hear himself saying redo and saying, oh, what does that mean in terms of why am I saying
Right.
redo? Why is that coming out? I don't think we're not being told there's a sense of that at all. That's all there for
No,
us to
but what
read.
I mean is some of the statements are made in Egypt when he's not there.
Oh, right. He's all right. The Sapulana B'nai
Right.
is Yehu is the brother saying that to him. He's not seeing that there.
Right. So that's not, but the other one about
I'm saying
Tehillah.
all of this is addressed to him, not to Yaakov or to Bnei Yisrael. It's addressed to us, it's the reader. That as we're reading this, we are supposed to see that Hashem's still there in the story, even though we don't see any action by God throughout all of this. It's kind of a reassurance. We haven't lost the main character. And I think that's part of the message is that, because we don't have Nevuah today. And part of that, this is the Medrash Lech HaTov, that Miyom Chachar Beit Midash in Simcha Shlema Ba'olam. We don't have Simcha in the state that we're still a state of Gaul. We're in the struggle, but as we know, things are still not stable. They're not in a state of Simcha. And so part of that is that we don't have that part makes that Nevuah impossible because we don't have the Simcha of Mitzvah that allows us to feel that close to Hashem. The Torah is telling us, even so, that even when you can't hear it, there's still sparks. If you could listen carefully, Hashem's voice is with us today, as long as we're speaking to Hashem. Yaakov still speaks to Hashem. Kel Shakai Yitein Lechem Rachamim. He's still davening. Because as Rav Soloveitchik says, that those that Nevuah, Tefillah, prophecy and prayer are two sides of the same thing. And we can still feel that closest to Hashem through tefillah. And this is Rav Soloveitchik, which I would end with, that prayer is basically an awareness of man finding himself in the presence of addressing. Actually, let me a second actually look at the source.
Could be you're missing a whole line.
The presence of oh and in the presence of and addressing himself to his maker. That's it. And to pray as one connotation to stand before God. Indeed, the prayer community was born the very instant the prophetic community expired. Tefillah and nevuah are two sides of the same thing. And that in our words to Hashem, we should be able to hear Hashem's voice speaking through us. It did not supersede the prophetic community, but rather perpetuated it. Prayer is a continuation of prophecy. The difference between prayer and prophecy is related not to the substance of the dialogue, but rather to the order to which it's conducted. And who starts doing the speaking?
Oh.
We start talking to God, and if we could stop and hear, we would still hear the same sorts of things of the nitzitzut of Ruach HaKodesh are still there. And that's kind of what we're being reassured of by reading this parsha, that Hashem's still there with us. We don't necessarily hear his voice in the sense of Nebuah, it's not as explicit.
Very nice.
But it's there. So we should always have hope. There's always Sever out there. I will.
That's when you go into the mashbir, you know, the big department store here.
Right. Right. So you want to
hope.
Yeah, so you want to say not mashbir, but the masbir is the place that gives you hope.
Materialism, right.
Feel free to tell them that. I am going to stop here. I.